It's not exactly that. We're trying to do all these different convoluted things. So to answer your question directly, I think creating self-awareness around the why behind what you're doing something, because that'll give you motivation, right? A stronger motivation than anything else. So your current health status, what does that mean? What are you trying to accomplish? Why are you trying to accomplish that thing? And for me and my clients, actually, we talk about self, family, and career. So we say, what is the thing that you're trying to accomplish and what is it going to mean for you? What is it going to mean for your family? And what is it going to mean for your career if you accomplish that thing? And then we ask, what's it going to mean if you don't accomplish that thing? What's it going to mean if you don't accomplish that thing for your family?
What's up, guys? Welcome back to the Dr. Joey Munoz Show, your go-to podcast for all things health, fitness, and nutrition. I'm your host, Dr. Joey, nutrition science PhD and founder of Fit for Life Academy. Today's episode is a wonderful conversation that I had with my good friend, Jonathan Hoke. For those of you guys who are regular listeners, you might have tuned into our first episode. This is the second time he's been on the show. First episode, we talked about injury prevention and how to work through injuries, which is super cool because that's Jonathan's area of expertise. But he is also a health and fitness coach. And so this episode was really focused on people's readiness to make change, right? We all have different goals. We all want to achieve different things. But for some reason, some of us really struggle to make change to help us achieve those goals. And so on this episode, we talked about things like really understanding the why or the reason behind why you want to achieve a particular goal, the importance of self-awareness, understanding what sacrifices are required to make particular changes, and the importance of habit formation, how to set yourself up for success if you are ready to make change, right? With that said, I hope you guys enjoyed the episode. Let's go ahead and get right into it. What's up, Jonathan? How you doing, man?
I'm great. How are you, Joey?
Doing good, dude. We're laughing because the start of these episodes are always very abrupt. I kind of always like to just hit record because anytime I have a guest on, we have like a ton of great banter before we start. And I'm like, man, like this would be a good start to the podcast overall. We were just talking about our training, which I'm sure we'll get into here in a minute. Jonathan, you are one of the few people who have been on the podcast twice now. So you should feel honored.
I am honored. I'm absolutely honored. Excited to
man,
be here.
All jokes aside, man, I appreciate you taking time to be here. For those of you guys, or I'll say for those that didn't listen to the first episode, do you mind giving a quick introduction of who you are, your background, and then we'll talk about the topic?
Yeah, absolutely. So grew up playing sports, loved the training aspect of all those sports and the competitiveness to it. And to make a long story short, got really into training with other people and sort of unofficially training with people in high school. And then when I got to college, originally got to college for School of Music at Florida State. And then as I interviewed at a strength gym and realized it was not all just bros and biceps within the gym setting. And these people were working with individuals who were struggling, you know, postpartum, individuals struggling with knee pain, individuals just struggling with disordered eating in general. Got super excited about that because I just thought it was a space that you could actually truly help people and change lives. And that's what I wanted to do with a career. So switched to exercise physiology, did that at Florida State while coaching, got like 45 to 5,000 hours of floor hours by the time I graduated. So worked full time while I was getting my undergraduate degree. And then afterwards decided to start my own company. So that brings us to where we are now.
Yeah, and give a little bit of background on what you do with your company, because I definitely want people to understand like what you do specifically nowadays.
For sure. So the best way to describe it is that I am a coach who coaches people on health and wellness within exercise, mindset, and lifestyle. And so that's a little less, I would say, specific and focused to you are on nutrition, but within that lifestyle aspect, you know, as well as anybody, it encompasses that nutrition side. So that sometimes encompasses a nutrition coaching with people, that encompasses programming with people, encompasses assessing different joint ranges of motion and mobility and stuff. So within those three things, I generally end up working with people who have tried all the things and nothing seems to work.
Yeah.
And that's sometimes people who have tried it with healthcare, sometimes people who have tried it with other coaches, and sometimes people who haven't tried anything at all and just have heard from others that I'm the guy to go to. So that's pretty much the main aspect. I do that in person and remotely with the coaching and programming, with, of course, exercise prescription being sort of the main factor there with what people are looking for.
Yeah, man. Thanks for that introduction. I'm super excited for this conversation because last episode, we kind of really focused on exercise, injury prevention in particular, some pain science stuff, which was really cool. Now, the funny part was that we were actually planning on having this conversation on the last episode, and we kind of just got carried away in one direction, which I'm happy it went that way because I think it was a great episode. But both you and I are coaches, which means that we interact with people on a regular basis, which means that we understand how much it really takes to help somebody make change and improve beyond just giving them appropriate information. I think this is something I learned in the trenches over the past couple of years, because when I finished my PhD, I was like, I know a lot of information. I can give this information for people and they can improve because people don't know what to do. And I quickly realized that most people have some sense of what they need to do. And what they really struggle with is change, right? So I'm very interested and excited to pick your brain on some of the strategies that you use to help, maybe motivate's the wrong word, but we'll use the word motivate here, to motivate clients to make change and stay adherent to their plan and make long-term progress, right? So maybe we can start by talking about what are some of the main things that you see with clients, or when you start working with a client, that helps you really notice whether or not they're ready to make change in the first place?
Oh, I mean, one of the best ways is to ask them.
Yeah.
Do you think you're ready to make this change right now? And a lot of times people will tell you, yeah, I am. And then kind of follow up question of, well, what about these other things that are going on right now? But to give a deeper question or answer to that question, I guess I would say, within getting to know somebody in the beginning and assessing kind of where they're at, getting to know their support system, getting to know what their history is and what they've tried in the past, you get a really strong sense from a lot, like when you see bar speed, the bar come up and you're like, you definitely had 10 pounds left there. There's a lot of that intuitiveness that comes with it in regards to not just having the direct answer, but also sort of feeling out, hey, right now it feels like there's a lot of other things going on. This may not be the best time to tackle this. And whether that's even talked about, or if it's, I'm just going to make the decision for us and say, hey, what do you think about trying this thing instead? And just sort of proposing that to the individual rather than waiting to kind of see burnout happen.
Yeah, I think, you know, what you're talking about really is like, and I guess another aspect of this, one thing that I really pick up on and really focus on when I'm perhaps having initial conversations with somebody who wants to work with me is like the reason why they want to achieve their particular goal, right? And it's funny because I think like the more experienced you are and the more clients you've worked with, the easier it is to pick up on some of these things, just like the language that clients use or what their motivation is. I've had several instances because oftentimes, let's be honest, you ask somebody, hey, this is going to require some effort. It's going to require time. Are you willing to make change? Nobody says no, right? Nobody says no. Everybody says, yes, I'm willing to do this, because maybe for a number of reasons, maybe they don't really understand what it requires. Maybe, you know, they really want this goal for whatever reason. So they're just saying that, yes, they're willing to do these things. But when you ask them like the reason why they want to make change and achieve a particular goal, sometimes it's pretty clear that the person just isn't ready at the moment, or that the person isn't really going to be super adherent to the plan, right? And I have a couple of examples that I've realized from clients that I've worked with that unfortunately a month or two into the coaching agreement, we realized that like, hey, it's not a good fit and maybe it's just not a right time for them. One was a client that reached out to me because they saw a transformation picture that I shared on my social media, and they messaged me and they're like, hey, I'm motivated to work with you because I want to be a transformation picture on one of your stories. And I was like, that's cool, right? But maybe we talk about a little bit more, like a little bit deeper. What does this really mean? And then oftentimes a lot of these people like really share that they're super busy. They have other priorities. The reason they haven't been able to achieve some fitness goals is because, I don't know, they don't have time. Like the not having time is a clear indication that health and fitness isn't a priority, right? Sometimes people have too much going on in their lives. I remember working with another client who wanted to lose weight for his wedding, which is a good motivator, right? But his wedding was like 3 months down the road and he had to plan the entire wedding and there were a ton of expenses, and he was launching a new business, and he owned two different businesses, and he was working like 14-hour days. And I remember clearly talking to him like, hey man, like, I'm willing to work with you, but know that it's going to put more work on your plate. And like, it requires time and it requires prioritization. And in all these instances, people are like, yeah, I understand. It's all good. And then it just doesn't happen, right? Have you experienced some similar situations?
Definitely. And it's something that I've worked really hard as my own company for the last 2 years to try to never take on anybody that's going to be a bad fit. I think that's, everyone would say that's their goal, but it's another thing to put, it's hard. It's very hard to do. And it's another thing, and this sounds like what you're doing too, is to put an obscene amount of effort into making sure that that's a good fit before you guys get together. But also, like you said, it's really hard because a lot of times people want to push past that or push against it. And I think of a lot of it comes down to the self-awareness aspect of where they're at, what they're thinking about, and not realizing, okay, there are two main reasons I should hire a coach. I don't have the energy and I don't know. Mm-hmm. Something within the I don't know and something with I don't have the energy for, whether it's the programming or whether it's the just tell me what to eat or whatever it is. But then not realizing that those two things, I didn't mention I'm lacking time, right? For getting a coach. It's like, no matter what, even if you have a coach, if you're just lacking the time, that's not really going to help you.
Yeah. And I think as coaches, we can do our best to try to filter for people that are going to be a good fit. But inevitably, some people are not going to be a good fit for coaching. And sometimes coming to that realization is good for the person as well, right? Because they really do realize like, hey, this actually requires a lot more effort than I originally thought it did. Let me rethink these things. And maybe I'll come back to you in a couple of months. Because at least my perspective is like, when I have a conversation with a potential client about working together, and they're like, you know, I've been struggling because X, Y, Z, I own two businesses or whatever it may be. I have three little kids or whatever it is. And they talk about being really tight on time. My follow-up response to that is typically like, hey, understand that this will take several hours out of your week. And you need to be able to prioritize your nutrition, your physical activity, your workouts. And if other things come up, you have to feel okay saying no to those other things. And doing this stuff because you're making a promise to yourself, right? And even when you say that, sometimes in many situations, people who are not ready still say, yeah, I'm ready, right? And as a coach, sometimes I have a hunch, you know, like it's hard to describe it in words, but you get like an intuitive sense of, hey, this person really isn't ready. But I also have been proven wrong before by people that I thought weren't ready. And in fact, they made incredible change. Mm-hmm. And two, I don't want to like discourage someone or say no to someone if they've verbally said that they can do these things just because of my personal feelings, right? Mm-hmm. But even though I try my best to filter for people that won't be a good fit, and there certainly have been people that are just like obviously not a good fit. But sometimes like that in-between area, that gray area can be really, really difficult.
Now, to be clear, you're talking about nutrition coaching, right?
No, man, my coaching is all-inclusive, nutrition, lifestyle, and training altogether. I used to offer nutrition-only coaching, but I realized I felt like I was somewhat doing a disservice to clients.
Yep.
In the sense that, like, nutrition alone is you don't get much out of it, right? And, like, it requires...
Similar to training.
Exactly. And it requires, you know, from the coaching perspective, it requires a very similar time investment per client. Mm-hmm. If you're doing nutrition only or nutrition and training and lifestyle related habits, right? So for me, it was kind of a no-brainer after a couple of months really of offering nutrition only or training only or combined service. I was like, scratch that. I'm doing, you know, if you want to work with me, it's all inclusive. If not, it's just not, you need to go work with somebody else because that, from my experience, the clients that were all in were the ones that had the best results overall.
I meant to ask you if it was all remote. I asked the
right thing. Yes.
I was going to say that it's harder, I think, with the remote setting to tell when someone's ready or not.
Yeah.
In person, what you get the cheat code of is that they know they're signing up for an hour session. They're coming in, and it still does happen, but they're coming in twice a week for an hour session, and they may not put in the time for the nutrition stuff outside of that.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's a little bit of a cheat code when you have that hour already set out. It's an appointment. That's also what people want. And it's also what coaches sometimes take advantage of knowing full well, oh, you're coming to me to make these certain changes, and these changes won't happen super quickly because you're going to be too busy training to do. And it's not directly that, it's not that diabolical, but just the aspect of change into being hard with this person being focused on doing the training. Like you said, they're not focused on the nutrition stuff. So they think they have this time. They do put forth the time, but that time is not what's, it'd be better off doing the 1 hour of training and 1 hour of the coach coming over and helping you cook than it would be to having the gym.
Great point. And it's funny because although all my clients are remote, like the training side of things, surprisingly, nobody really struggles with adherence there. Like most of the people that I work with,
it's the fun stuff, right?
Yeah, it's the fun stuff. They have some experience of training, or they're like looking forward to going to the gym. It's really the habit-based stuff that people struggle with. And perhaps it's just because the habit-based stuff is not so sexy, right? As like hitting PRs in the gym. Like, hey, make sure you have 5 servings of fruits and veggies every day. You're probably motivated to do it for the first week, but after that, it becomes somewhat mundane, repetitive, and like it's easy to not prioritize those things. I think that's really where people struggle the most in terms of doing the things on a daily basis that are just like not that fun or not that exciting. I wanted to ask you, man, what are some things, you know, for people that are listening, because self-assessing readiness to change is difficult, right? What are some things that people can ask themselves or think about to determine whether or not they are ready to make change in the right direction? And perhaps, what are some commonalities that you have seen amongst individuals who have made positive lifestyle changes?
So I think definitely the largest thing for this, both applies to the coach and the individual, but for yourself, is thinking about the self-awareness. There's a presentation I'm doing right now for, working on it right now for FDLE, and it's on modern nutrition. And it's just the idea of, what are the things that we see? I mean, you're going to end up loving this, but what are the things that we see that are different now in modern day that have caused all these different new things to kind of come up? And one of the pieces of that presentation is going through this sort of idea, holistic idea of creating self-awareness. Because I think you kind of talked about it a second ago with people struggling with the workouts versus the lifestyle stuff, right? Part of the reason the lifestyle stuff I think is so difficult is because the creation of that self-awareness and then the execution of that self-coaching, it's all within things, one, that are very vulnerable that no one wants to touch on. No one wants to air their dirty laundry, and no one wants to touch it with a 10-foot pole. And they also have stronger ties than just, oh, I get to the gym and I work out. There doesn't have to be any emotion behind it, versus, you know, we're seeing right now, and we can kind of talk about this on the side, but I believe, from my understanding of the literature right now, the strongest indicator of somebody's, you know, weight struggles is going to be their reward, food reward sensitivity that they have. And that's honestly the biggest thing. Like, genetics are part of that. You know, there's growing up certain ways are parts of that. You know, what your Nana cooked when you were growing up are sure are parts of that. Like, all those things affect it, but food reward, I mean, that's huge. And that is a very sensitive topic to tell someone, hey, you know, the thing that you love and that makes you feel really good. Yeah. Don't do that. And it's effectively what we're doing, right? It's not exactly that. We're trying to do all these different convoluted things. So to answer your question directly, I think creating self-awareness around, you know, the why behind what you're doing something, cause that'll give you motivation, right? A stronger motivation than anything else. So your current health status, what does that mean? What are you trying to accomplish? Why are you trying to accomplish that thing? And for me and my clients, actually, we talk about self, family, and career. So we say, what is the thing that you're trying to accomplish, and what is it going to mean for you? What is it going to mean for your family? And what is it going to mean for your career if you accomplish that thing? And then we ask, what's it going to mean if you don't accomplish that thing for you? What's it going to mean if you don't accomplish that thing for your family? What's going to mean if you don't accomplish that thing for your career? And that, what's going to happen if you don't, it's not a fear factor, but it is a, let's get real about what we're trying to do here or what we're trying to accomplish. Because it's gotten to the point for me where it oftentimes lead to these rephrasings or this misunderstanding about why someone isn't doing something. Had a client today, it's a perfect example. She said, I'm so resistant to doing the meal prepping, and I don't really know why. I'm not going to do it. Like, it's just something I don't have the time for. I don't want to do it. And as we talked about it, we were able to rephrase and realize that the reason she was resisting meal prepping and planning even is that, which are different things, is because she didn't believe that there was a way that she could do those things that would actually work for her. Truly didn't believe it. Mm-hmm. And so because of that, why that's perfectly logical for you to resist doing that if you think there's no way for it to work for you. And that's why I fight against a lot of the it's all motivation based stuff about like, oh, I'm just, and I try to encourage people as much as possible about it's not motivation. It's not what you're lacking. I know it's a long answer for about the individual and we can go deeper down, but the biggest thing I think is creating self-awareness around your goal, even figuring out what your biases are. Like biases are extremely helpful. They're cognitive bias refers to a set of predictable, i.e. non-random errors where because you feel a certain way. Now they're super helpful because they help us make quick decisions. Those decisions are not always accurate though, because they're so quick. But without bias, we'd go so slow, we wouldn't be able to accomplish anything. But just understanding them, know your blind spots, and know your training direction, know your whys.
Yeah, I love a lot of stuff that you talked about there. And I want to talk about a couple things that you mentioned, but the creating self-awareness, obviously incredibly important, obviously incredibly difficult for people that lack self-awareness in certain areas, right? Because it's not like you're either self-aware or not self-aware in all aspects of life. Mm-hmm. We tend to be more self-aware in certain areas and less self-aware in others, right? I'd love to pick your brain on maybe some strategies or things that think people can do to create more self-awareness around their health and fitness goals. Some of the things that I really like to dig into when it comes to working with a new client is something you touched on, their why, right? The reason why they want to achieve a particular goal. Most people don't go to that step. Most people just think about their goal. And it's almost like the why is self-implied, right? It's like, hey, I want to lose 10 pounds. Why? Because I want to. Like nobody really thinks about the deeper reason why they're trying to achieve their goal, right? And I do think it is incredibly important to do this as an activity, like really take some time to reflect and write down, type, whatever it may be, why you're trying to achieve something in the first place. Like this is something I really thought about. Like I actually today just opened up the waitlist for a new membership service that I'm offering with my business, right? And before I started working on this, a big question that I had was like, why do I want to direct time and energy towards a different service as part of my business? Why not direct that time and energy towards my one-on-one coaching business, right? And for me, it was a couple of things. One, I want to buy back my time, right? One-on-one coaching is time intensive. I would like to be able to work with less clients over time. So that was one of the whys. Another reason was if I wanted to continue to scale my business, I have two routes to go down. I can grow a one-on-one coaching team, or I can have a lower ticket, more like self-paced coaching membership. And for me, the idea of managing a coaching team wasn't very appealing, at least not at the moment. And I want to make my services more accessible to people. And I think if you're smart and structure things correctly, it can be very effective at a lower tier membership as well. And those were some of the main reasons why I went in that direction. But it wasn't just like, hey, I want to do a membership. Let's do it. Like there was a lot of intentional thought as to why do I want to do this in the first place? Because when you start something, to see it through, it requires a ton of time and energy. And I've been working on this for over a year now, right? And finally seeing the fruits of my labor now. And so some of the things that I like to ask clients are like, hey, you want to lose 10 pounds, why? And it's not just, I want to be a little bit leaner for the summer. Sometimes it is that, it's just that, right? And that's okay. But sometimes it goes beyond that. Maybe it's because, I don't know, at your current weight, you feel uncomfortable at work. You feel like people judge you for your weight, whatever. And we can like having a conversation about whether or not you should feel judged based off like others' perceptions of you is a completely different conversation. But regardless, whatever the reason is, it's important to dig into those things. And then going a step beyond that and thinking about, okay, these are my goals. These are why I want to accomplish my goals. Now let me go a step beyond that and think about what changes or sacrifices are actually required to achieve those goals. And what I tell clients is what you need to do is weigh the pros and cons of those sacrifices versus the why, right? Because sometimes, again, like, yes, you have a why, that's not enough. I need to think about what changes you actually need to make to your overall lifestyle to achieve a body composition change or success with business or relationships or whatever it is, because this is really applicable to anything, right? And it really comes down to as simple as, like, are the sacrifices that are required worth the change that you want to achieve? And I've had this conversation with so many clients. Many times they realize it's not worth it, right? I think about this situation or this story all the time, and I've shared it here a couple of times, but I worked with a client. He was already in fantastic shape. Not super ripped by any means, but lean, had abs, worked out regularly for years, was in good shape. And he really wanted to take his physique to the next level and get into single digit body fat and be super lean. And you and I both know that, like, the leaner you want to get, the more sacrifices required, right? Like, going from being overweight to being in decently good shape is difficult for many people, but objectively, the sacrifices required to achieve that are technically less than the sacrifices required to get from, like, pretty good shape to, like, incredibly good shape, right? And this client in particular used to like going out with his family about 3 times a week to dinner, and he didn't want to track calories and just wanted to enjoy himself. It was family time he would spend with his wife, with his kids. And we had a conversation on the phone. I was like, man, listen, you already eat super healthy. You're already super active. You don't have any more time. Like, realistically, what would need to change, you would need to give up some of these things. Maybe you can't just go to a restaurant and just enjoy yourself. You have to be a little bit stricter because it's 3 times a week, or maybe you only do it once a week. And we came to the conclusion that for him, it just wasn't worth it, right? Like, getting a little bit leaner wasn't worth sacrificing quality time with his family. And that's not to say that for everybody, they need to sacrifice quality time with their family at all. But in his circumstance, that was kind of what was required because he was already doing all the other right things, right? And for some people listening, they might think like, man, that sucks. But in reality, it made him feel like he was way more in control of his circumstance, right? Because for months, he felt like he was just spinning his wheels. Like, man, I want to make progress, but I can't. I don't know why. I want to make progress, but I can't. I don't know why. And it's because he never really thought about what sacrifices are actually required to achieve that. And once he realized that those sacrifices just weren't worth it, he felt a lot more comfortable just saying like, hey, I'm happy with my body now. I don't need to get any leaner. And in fact, I understand that that isn't the goal that I should actually chase given what my priorities are. Mm-hmm. Anyways, I'll shut up now. I've been talking for a while.
No, I mean, I have something off of that. So you were talking about that side to it, like sort of the direction he went where he was like, oh, that sucks. That's going to take too much. Yeah. And I'm sure you probably have a story for the opposite too. So yeah. I'll share that one just because of how this goes.
Yeah.
I have a client who really wanted to, he had just lost 105 pounds or so. Wow. And he, at this point, was kind of terrified to eat. Definitely didn't have an eating disorder, but was just very scared to eat. Wasn't certain of what he would do. Also very fit and lean. Used mostly cardiovascular exercise to get where he wanted to go. Dude wipes me on cycling. I try to go cycling with him. It just doesn't work out for me, but that's okay. I'll get better. But he was really afraid to eat consistently. And then what I told him, you know, that, hey, in order to gain this muscle that you want to gain, that's what you're coming to me to do. You're mm-hmm. going to have to eat more, and kind of freaked him out a little bit. But I was like, hey, what if that scares you? But what if we do it this way? That didn't seem as scary to him. We did it that way. And then it got to the point where he was like, okay, wow, I've really gained some muscle. And I'm like, uh-huh. You want to keep going? He's like, well, what would that take? I was like, well, can you drink a protein shake before your breakfast each morning? He was like, sure, I could do that. Doesn't sound too bad. So he did it. And then he decided to eat a little bit of a bigger breakfast. And long story short, I mean, I'll send you these in a later time, but just before and after photos, just insane. And of course, genetics have a role to play this as well, but it was as simple for him as just showing him that it didn't have to be as scary or as much work as he might think, because they've never been down this path before, right? It's not. Yeah. And if they have, sometimes the way that they did it was actually unnecessarily hard of the mm-hmm. things that they may have given themselves. And so it's really nice to have that clarity about where you'd like to go and how you're willing to get there and what you're willing to spend to get there. And then working with a professional and with a coach is even better, because then you can understand, okay, is it actually going to be that hard, or is it going to be this other stuff, or what am I particularly going to have to sacrifice? and all those different things. It's just nice.
Hey guys, some of you may not know that I'm the scientific advisor for a supplement company called Outwork Nutrition. I help with the formulation of new products to help ensure that they're effective and backed by science. Unlike many other supplement companies out there, we don't rely on exaggerated claims or flashy marketing tactics. Instead, we let the science speak for itself. We take pride in formulating products that deliver real results, helping you achieve your fitness goals in a meaningful way. If you're in the market for supplements like protein powder, pre-workout, or recovery products, make sure to check us out at outworknutrition.com. And as a thank you for being an avid listener of this podcast, use code Joey for an exclusive discount at checkout. You can find the link to our website down in the description of this podcast episode. Remember, our goal is to empower you with science-backed supplements that truly make a difference. Choose Outwork Nutrition and elevate your fitness to new heights. Yeah, man, that's really the power of coaching, right? Like, good guidance. I think that's what a good coach really does. Like, helps you stay accountable, helps you really think through the things that you're struggling and figure out why you're struggling and come up with a good strategy to make those struggles feel more manageable, perhaps. Mm-hmm. Right. This is, you know, I was talking about having this conversation with clients and then realizing that maybe a particular goal isn't the right goal for them, but I've had the exact opposite conversation to a number of times, right? Because I think as a coach, that's also part of our job to help remind people like why they're doing this in the first place. And I've realized this is a commonality amongst people who have good success. Unfortunately, people who have, not unfortunately, I guess it's just the nature of the way humans are. But when we can consider the why being deeper than just some external validation-based reason, people are more likely to actually make change, right? Most of the clients that I work with that make reliable change have had some sort of health scare. And it doesn't have to be like a really crazy health scare, like an actual heart attack or something like that. But, this has actually happened a number of times with clients that I work with. They're perhaps in their 50s or so. They have some kids, maybe even younger, like late 30s, 40s, they have some young kids. They went to the doctor and they got a checkup and they've never had any issues their whole life. And now they have like really high LDL, right? And they're like, oh shit, if I don't get this in check, like I might not be around as long as I want to be around, right? Or I might have a heart attack at a young age. And like those things are scary, right? Those types of clients typically have a much higher success rate than clients that just want to get a little bit leaner for the summer, right? And again, there is absolutely nothing wrong with having the goal of getting a little bit leaner for the summer. I do it every single year. But it's like, that's just for some people, not a very strong motivator. Whereas having a health scare often is a much stronger motivator, right? And even for those individuals, it can be really hard to make change. And I just had this conversation recently with a client of mine where he really, really wants to improve his overall lifestyle, right? He really wants to. He's had a health scare. Like his blood lipids are pretty damn high. And he does things on a regular basis that are not conducive to his overall health goals. And the funny thing is that throughout the week, he does really well. He does really well, right? Like it's the weekends where he struggles. And it's because he puts himself in situations that make it more difficult to be adherent to the overall game plan, right? Like he goes out with friends and his friends like to drink a lot. So he ends up drinking a lot. And then when he drinks a lot, he doesn't have control over food choices, then he eats a lot. And I'm not anybody to tell people like, do that or don't do that, right? My goal as a coach is to make sure that the things that he's doing align with the thing that he wants to achieve, right? And the reason why I say this is because if this particular client told me like, hey, I do this on the weekends and I'm good and I'm happy, by all means, go ahead, right? Like it's your life, you can live your life however you want. But the thing is that every time it happens, and it happens frequently, he tells me how bad he feels about it after. Mm-hmm. And he's like, man, I feel really guilty about my choices. I feel like I don't have any control in these situations. I'm going to do better, but it's really difficult. And so we had, you know, an open conversation about these, and these conversations can be quite difficult. But Because before this, we've tried implementing a number of strategies when it comes to eating out. For example, like making sure you consume some food prior so you don't eat a ton when you're out at a restaurant, making some modifications to your food choices, letting your friends know that you're not going to be drinking more than one or two drinks. And we've tried implementing all these things without any success, right? Like the self-control in these situations was really difficult. So I had a conversation with him and I was like, man, if you want to achieve these goals, if you're trying to improve your overall health, and you have little kids, you want to be around for your kids and your family is your priority. You want to set the example for them. You want to be a good father. Then these changes need to happen. Now, the strategies that we've been using have not worked. So another, I guess the last resort in this situation was like, hey, you can't be doing this two or three times a week. Like you just can't, right? You need to either not hang out with those friends, which is super difficult, right? But these are the things that really need to occur. Like you need to not hang out with those friends, or you need to hang out with them in a situation where there's no alcohol and food involved. Like some big change needs to occur, because if not, you're just going to continue spiraling in this situation. Peer pressure is real, right? Like we say we have control and then we're around our friends and we don't have control.
Yeah.
Anyways, all this to say that we had this conversation and it was really helpful for him, because most people don't go through this activity on their own, right? This is, again, the power of coaching. But he really realized like, man, yeah, I'm self-sabotaging. I don't feel good about the things that I'm doing. And I do realize that these goals that I've set for myself are way more important than going out and drinking with my friends, right? And honestly, over the past month, he's had way more success than he's had prior, simply as a result of having this difficult conversation. Yeah, man, it's really cool to see how beneficial it can be to have these conversations with clients, even though they can feel really uncomfortable sometimes.
Oh yeah, this is something that it's really huge in this industry in general, fitness industry, what have you, to kind of pigeonhole yourself into like, you need to find your niche, you need to be this type of coach. Once you're that, you'll be able to do it the best, one, and two, you'll be able to market to those people the best. But I honestly, this seems off track, but it's going to come back. I honestly think it's more so number two. I think it's more so that people feel like, and accidentally sometimes on purpose, it's not everybody out to get blood, but the bigger thing is that people think they're going to get more marketing that way. They're going to get more leads that way if they pigeonhole themselves into one thing, and that's the main motivator. Because, and the only reason I say that and I challenge that, and maybe I'm making things unnecessarily hard for myself, but I love working with vastly different people.
Yeah.
From the 85-year-old who's trying to just retire in good health, to the 82-year-old who wants to be a triathlete and has never trained before, to the 16-year-old who wants to play college ball, everywhere in between. And to the person who's struggling with Crohn's disease who wants to figure out how they can pick their kid up off the ground without tweaking their back. All of those people have led me to a line of change or a line of thinking, which is now going to bring us back to what we're talking about here, which is I believe that full autonomy comes from when you're where you want to be and it's sustainable.
Mm-hmm.
That's full autonomy. You're where you want to be and it's sustainable. If those things are true, then you're autonomous. And I think James Clear says this, but it's like any quest for rapid growth contradicts every stabilizing force in our lives. Where if you have, you know, you look at the human body and how it's made, right? It's meant to stay back in homeostasis. It's meant you want to make these small changes. But at the same time, what you're talking about, if you don't make those huge changes, like that's not a small change to stop hanging out with your friends, but also it's probably the right choice in that scenario. So that's a hard, yeah. That's a harder change. So where does that come from? And I think in order to find sustainability, even with motivation for the effort to grow, we need to first have awareness, and you're helping him find that awareness of none of his friends who are with him are going to say, dude, you should stop hanging out. None of them are going to say that, right? So having someone in his life to at least bring that awareness down is fantastic. And so I think this leads to a really simple step for listeners, which is start by simply tracking things and reflecting. What are you doing in a week? What are you doing that's pushing you closer to your goals? What are you doing that's pushing you further away from your goals? I had a client recently tell me about one of his friends who he said that should start working with me, ended up not working with me. I didn't even know her. This was him talking to her privately. And long story short, instead of working with me, she decided, I'm not going to work with a coach. I'm going to go on Ozempic. Oh boy. Mm-hmm. And super cool clinical discovery. Absolutely no bad things that we found to be associated with it. Bad clinical findings we've had as far as the effects of it.
Yeah, yeah.
But that's not the writing's on the wall, right? If it decreases appetite, then we're decreasing the amount of food we're intaking. You're not just losing fat, you're losing lean body mass. That can be dangerous. You're messing with appetite already, and we already know that's dangerous. So long story short, she's scheduled for heart surgery Monday. Next Monday. Now, yeah. And then my client asked me, did Ozempic do that to her? I was like, well, indirectly, right? Because if you look at the problem she was trying to solve, which was fat loss, but the issue that the fat loss was supposedly causing, which could be yes, could be no, could be part of a lot of different things, is whatever her health markers were that her doctors were concerned about that said, hey, you need to lose fat. That was enough for her because her husband's a doctor that she wanted to lose fat. But what led to all of that was the summation of her habits within lifestyle, exercise, and mindset. Right. Mm-hmm. Those summations, regardless of whether they're intentional, and you know, this is why we have empathy as coaches. If we thought this was all motivation and anybody could do it, then we would have no empathy, right? We would probably pick different fields because this would be driving us nuts. It's hard. But those summation of those things led to her to this body fat, this health, not just that body fat, this level of health. And instead of addressing the things that got her there, we see this in injury all the time. Oh, my traps are tight. I'll just get a massage and loosen them up. But why are they tight? Right? It's that same line of thinking where it's like, well, instead of solving, it's not just that you want to get lean, it's that you want these things. And I think the same thing happens with change talk where people say, oh, I want a six pack. And as the coach, it's our responsibility, which is what you're talking about, is doing this for them to say, do you? Do you actually want that? And sometimes it's they don't want a six pack. It's that they want to feel attractive to their significant other. They want to feel comfortable. They want to feel wanted. They want to feel like all of these deeper things that it's like,
sure,
I just want that. I want my friends to be excited for me. I want them to be proud of me. Maybe even as like those are deeper ones, but sometimes they're a little bit more shallow ones. But all of those things, that's brutal. And so that being tied to, you know, or them thinking, oh, I'm never going to get this thing, and also not realizing why it upsets me so much that I'm not going to get this thing. So I think it comes down to a lot of it comes down to the levels of awareness. I think you're either unaware, maybe you have, you know, an unawareness is like it doesn't exist, and therefore it kind of controls what I do if I'm unaware of it. If I have an initial awareness, then I've never noticed that before. If I have an interested awareness, then I am aware of something, but I'm also really interested because it could help me with ... Mm-hmm. And then maybe an active awareness where I'm in the process of changing ... and I'm actively investigating what's happening here. And so that level of awareness is what I try to accomplish with individuals, which sounds like we're doing as well, to try to see not just the deeper why, but the deeper feelings behind the why. What are you trying to capture with? And that's what the reason for that, the sneaky reason for that, that question of what happens if you don't do that with your family? Oh, I will have failed them. Will you have failed them? Or what's actually failing them to you? Maybe sit down and have a conversation with your family about what it would mean if you actually failed them, or how they would feel, or anything. And sometimes it's okay to come to the conclusion back to, like you were just saying, which I really appreciate. No one wants to say those like really strong and simple answers of, honestly, just want to feel comfortable, and I don't feel comfortable right now. Sometimes it really is just that. But other times it's the deeper things. And I think those are the people that I end up getting a lot of those. It's not everybody, but I get a lot of those because of the fact that, like you said, some people aren't willing to go to that level to talk about those things, or don't build enough trust to garner, you know, having a conversation like that with somebody. They're like, I'm not going to talk to you about that. I barely know you. So
yeah,
it's unique.
And sometimes it takes some time to really, like get clients to open up and talk about those things. And that's when you can really even like, that's really when change occurs, right? And it's not even just physical change, because I'm sure yourself included probably have worked with some clients who you would say, or maybe they would say that they got a ton of value out of coaching, but objectively their body didn't change a ton, right? Like I've had clients like that very often where like I work with them for 6 months or so, or maybe even a year. They improve their strength a little bit. They improve their body composition a little bit. But the main thing they benefited from is like the mindset related changes, mm-hmm. right? And you touched on something that I want to discuss here. How difficult it is to have conversations, right? Not just a client having these conversations with us as their coach, because I think that many times talking to somebody who you don't know in real life or like isn't super invested in your day-to-day life is actually a little bit easier than having difficult conversations with those that are really close to you, because it can feel really uncomfortable to put yourself in a vulnerable position, right? And I want to challenge something you said earlier. You said that like your friends are not going to tell you not to drink. I would actually say if you have good friends and you express your goals to them, like they should actually be supportive of that, right? Like if somebody who is my good friend came to me and they're like, hey man, I know we're going out tonight. I know you guys are going to be drinking. Like I'm really trying to cut down on my drinking. I would appreciate if you support that. I'm there 100%. Most times friends aren't going to have that type of conversation because unfortunately, like people feel uncomfortable being vulnerable. And sometimes you pressure your friends to do things that they don't want to do simply because you're unaware, right? Sometimes it's not intentional. Most times mm-hmm. it's not intentional. A friend typically isn't going to intentionally harm you. And if they do, that's not really a friend.
I was going to say, most likely that guy did not tell his friends
exactly his goal. Exactly. Yeah. And I bring this up because this is a recommendation that I've given clients a number of times. I remember one example specifically. I was working with a female client and she was really anxious about going on her best friend's bachelorette party. She was the maid of honor and she knew there was going to be alcohol involved. She was trying to minimize her alcohol intake. This was a while back, but I think the circumstance was that we were working together for a couple of months and she had no events in that time frame, and she was doing really well with her nutrition and training, and she was really afraid of like derailing her progress, right? And she genuinely didn't want to get drunk for a couple of days in a row. And she was really anxious about this. And she was asking me for tips to help her stay on track. And I told her, I was like, well, if you're the maid of honor, this is like your really good friend. This is your best friend. Right? And she's like, oh yeah, we're super close. And I was like, have you just had a conversation with her? And like told her, hey, I'm going to be here and I'm present for you and I support you and I want to enjoy your bachelorette party and I want you to have a great time because you're getting married. But I have these goals and I don't want to drink. And these are the parameters that I want to set for myself over this weekend. And she's like, no, I haven't done that. And she had that conversation and her friend was super supportive. And it removed all the anxiety, right? So sometimes like with social situations, we just need to feel a little bit more comfortable having uncomfortable conversations because it can feel awkward. I think the most awkward part is initiating the conversation itself, right? Because once you have the conversation, you really realize that like your friends do care about you. They do support you. They're not going to just tell you like, no, they're not going to be upset at you, right? Mm-hmm. But really feeling comfortable like saying, hey, I need to talk to you about something. I'm feeling this way. I need you to support me in this fashion. And putting yourself in a vulnerable position. And I would say most of the times you'll be like very pleasantly surprised that you'll receive the positive feedback that you're looking for. And it almost like instantaneously removes the anxiety that you're feeling.
Yeah. I mean, a lot of us just, I say us because everybody struggles with this. We just suck at having conversations in general.
Yeah.
Like we're often thinking about what we're going to say next before you tell me what it is you're telling me. So then I'll chime in and say something like it's inherently obvious and we can't do it here because then everyone listening is going to be like, oh, he did that thing. Although I've listened to several podcasts where that's what I'm hearing is the person saying something. It's like, yeah, and that's the thing, you know, but then they just say it as what they were thinking. It has nothing to do with what you just said. But it's inherent and it's part of it is because we don't want to have pauses in what we say. We don't want to have different things. And I think the biggest thing you're talking about is us assuming we know what the other person is going to say or us assuming the worst or assuming the thing that we fear to be true when sometimes you just have to say that scary thing and say like, hey, I'm really nervous that, and that's honestly a great way to start the conversation. That's why I wanted to bring it up is bringing up that I'm really nervous that I'm going to ruin your trip I'm going to ruin this bachelorette party. Girl, why? What's going on? I have these goals and I've been working really hard on them and I'm scared of falling off that I'm not going to get back on. What are the goals? Like, I want to lose this weight and I don't want to drink. Like, you're already having that conversation and you're already getting the thing off of your chest. That's the thing, rather than having that thing. And then you're trying to say, hey, can I talk to you? And that tightness, gripping, you know, versus like, I'm going to say this scary thing right out. I'm super scared to ruin your trip and you're my best friend. And I don't want that to happen. Just say that flat out. I feel like that's the best way to have those conversations. Just say the thing that's making your stomach turn. And then everything else will have context from there. Sometimes it's not the best, right? If you're a significant other or something like that. But for the most part, with those things, I feel like if you start with the scary thing, start with the problem, and then work your way from there, it can be a nice way to let it out on the table. And sort of, if you can't get anything else out, just say that you're scared to blank. You're nervous about blank.
Yeah, totally, man. It is tough, right? And I think a lot of the anxiety sometimes that people feel is just from holding things in and not talking about them. Mm-hmm. It's funny because like this really is applicable to like, I think all aspects of life, right? Because everything we do is influenced by other people and it's important to make sure we're on the same page with other people, at least those that are close to us. And we can't be on the same page unless you talk about the things that you want, right? And oftentimes it's a fear that there's going to be some friction there and the other person isn't going to see eye to eye and they're going to be really mad and they're going to blow up or whatever. Like 90% of those things aren't true the majority of the time, right? I want to go back to the topic of readiness to change though, because all of this obviously ties into that. I think for people who are looking to start their health and fitness journey or get back on a healthy routine, with everything that we're talking about communication, it's incredibly important to make sure that those that are closest to you are on board. So have those difficult conversations. I think that's an incredibly important step of saying that you're ready to make a change, right? Because you might be ready to make a change. Those around you might not know about it. They might hold you back. And then that could be an obstacle. So having that conversation is important. Being self-aware, which is the topic that you brought up and some of the strategies that you shared to create some self-awareness, thinking about your why. Why are you trying to achieve a particular goal? It's not just about the goal, but the deep reasons why you're trying to achieve that goal. And really think about what sort of changes are required, what sacrifices are required. And I like to use the word sacrifice because anytime you're going to make some sort of change, you need to sacrifice one thing for the other thing that you're going to do. Maybe it's not a huge sacrifice, but if you're going to meal prep for an hour on the weekend and you never do that, you are technically sacrificing an hour that you could be dedicating to something else. Right? Even if it's mindlessly scrolling on your phone, which we can all, first off, we all do. And two, we can all acknowledge that it's not a very productive use of your time, but we all do it, right? And you are technically sacrificing that to then spend that hour meal prepping. But regardless, like, are the sacrifices worth it? And we can probably all agree that sacrificing an hour on your phone to be able to prepare your meals for the week is pretty easy sacrifice to say like, yeah, that's worth it, but other things may not be worth it, right? So really considering your sacrifices. Let's say somebody is at this point, Jonathan, where they've considered all these things. They're ready to change. They're ready to start developing some healthy habits and move in the right direction. What are some steps that people can take to ensure that they have success starting their health and fitness journey, right? Because oftentimes people do get to this place and then they go on social media, they find some charlatan and they do something really stupid. And then they think that like they can't make progress because they can't stick to this plan, right? So like, how can people actually set themselves up for success when they're ready to get started?
First of all, I just appreciate the use of the word charlatan because that's necessary. And probably the
social
best
media charlatans, bro. That's my favorite phrase. I got it from Lane Norton. He would always say charlatans. I'm like, I really like that. Now everybody to me is just a charlatan.
Randomized human control trials and charlatans. It's perfect. It's the only vocabulary you need. I mean, there's so many great strategies, but it sounds like you're talking about how to best implement a habit.
Sure. Would or how agree? To make sure that, yeah, we can talk about how to implement a habit or even like the importance of starting with a habit-based approach, right? Yep. The importance of like not taking on too much at once.
Sure. 100%. Yeah. I would start with the definition of a habit, which is just, it's the reason we have habits is to save energy, moving the conscious to the unconscious, spending enough time in the conscious space, they were able to change what was formerly unconscious. And then spending enough time within that conscious phase again to make it unconscious again. Because if it's unconscious, then we'll do it all the time. If it's habit, the definition of that is that we will do it without thinking. We'll do it, therefore, we'll do it with less energy. And so when people say that exercising becomes easier and those things become easier, I think what they're trying to say is not just that you actually enjoy it more or something like that, but sometimes just because it becomes less decision fatigue, which some people have so much decision fatigue around what they're actually doing. So I'd say starting small, and because of that definition, starting small, not just because a study says it or because we say it, but because we know that habits are meant to be this unconscious thing, taking an unconscious thing and making it conscious, you're already adding energy. And not to say that it makes it impossible. It's not impossible. People do it all the time. It's just finding the right strategies to do it. Just like growing your chest, right? Like, or growing a muscle group. If you're going to do that, there's strategies you can do that are very difficult. We also see that volume is really important. So you could also spread that volume out throughout the week, and all of a sudden it's not as hard as it could have been, you know, or as painful. So just to say it on that point, starting really, really small. I think defining whether you're trying to break something or build something is also really important. Like, and what often people look for the lowest hanging fruit of, oh, what could I change? What could I work on that's going to best help me? But they fail to look at, do I need to break something or build something? And will that be the lowest hanging fruit? Will it be easier for me to break this habit or to build it? And sometimes the best way to break a habit is to replace it. But other times it's to, like, if somebody's goal is, I want to drink moderately, like we were just talking about that. Well, getting more specific with that and exchange that habit for a specific goal and the easiest way to achieve it. So instead of, I want to drink moderately, it's I'll limit myself to a maximum of 2 drinks per night, period. And starting wherever that is. And I believe Precision Nutrition coins this, but it's just the idea of it should be a 10 out of 10. Yep, too easy. I could do that. Easy. If that's the level of confidence you have in achieving it, then you probably picked a pretty good difficulty of something to start with. Because you can tag on this, but you already know the consistency far outweighs that intensity. Right? We were just talking about this with our workout plans. We focus more on, I just gotta get it in. I'm not gonna try to do something crazy. I'm just gonna get it in. And I'm not worried about how structured it is, how crazy it is. And that over a long period of time makes some pretty credible gains. So that's the first one I would say. The other day is replacing them. So if you're trying to break a habit, you know, being specific, give yourself a tangible way. If you're trying to replace it, habits can be good or bad, right? I think James Clear talks about this in Atomic Habits, which is a great plug for a book if you're interested in one. But you don't eliminate a bad habit, you replace it.
Yeah.
And so just the idea to have a plan in advance, you'll handle whatever thing triggers that habit and have it lead to something else instead. So having, accessing the trigger. So it's better to go over an example than to say the words. So like if your phone scrolling, like you're saying, when you go to sit down, the first thing you do is you click on Instagram, and you go there and find it. One of the easiest ways to change that is take an app that you are wanting to spend more time on, like a habit formation app or your fitness app, and move it to where Instagram is. Your muscle memory will take you straight to that fitness app every time you sit down, and it's going to drive you nuts. But every single time your muscle memory finds where that social media is again, just switch it.
So just one small thing
you can do to replace that habit. And we've talked about awareness already, but I'd say those things are really, really helpful just to start somewhere with, okay, I've gotten my goals. I'm ready to go. Now, how do I implement this? Well, do you need to break it? Do you need to build it? Do you need to replace something? Or do you just have to find the lowest hanging fruit and small thing to implement to start and then build from there?
Yeah, man, I'm all with you. My whole approach to coaching is a habit focused approach. Like I tell all my clients this, what we are going to do is an in-depth intake form to assess everything about your nutrition and lifestyle. I will identify a series of habits that will benefit you. And then we're going to work on them one at a time slowly. And that's the approach that I've had the most success with clients. I think one of the benefits of coaching is, again, having somebody help you identify some of the behaviors that would benefit you, because oftentimes people struggle to know like what they actually need to do, right? So I would say, like, aside from starting slow and focusing on habits, like, actively spend time educating yourself, because it's important to have the right information, right? I was actually just talking to last week's episode to a friend of mine. She's a binge eating specialist, essentially. And we were talking about eating disorders, body image, all this stuff. And I was sharing how I definitely had some disordered eating behaviors when I was a young teenager. And now I don't at all. And I don't necessarily know why. And she was like, how much of a role do you think like your education played, like learning about metabolism and understanding that these things don't really matter that much? And I was like, you know, it probably played a much bigger role than I give credit to, because I don't think about it, right? So I'm huge on education. Like, actively always try to educate yourself. Think about anything that you're successful at in life. Like, how much time did it take to learn the information that you currently know about that thing? It took some time, right? If you want to be healthy, like, you need to learn about health. You need to learn about what a healthy diet looks like, what a healthy lifestyle looks like, because most people don't have a clue. So that's probably the first place, right? Try to consume some good information. If you're listening to this podcast,
good start.
Obviously, I'm biased, but this is a good starting point, right? And look at all the people that I relate to on social media and on the podcast, and Jonathan, the people that you talk to, like, those are probably going to be good sources. Start by educating yourself. When you start educating yourself, pick up on some behaviors that some of these people are talking about, right? Like, I always talk about protein and fiber and a step goal, et cetera. And just pick some of these behaviors and slowly start to implement them. As Jonathan just mentioned, come up with some creative strategies to help you implement these things, right? At the end of the day, there should be some reward associated with the behaviors that you're trying to implement, because that way it makes it more enjoyable and it's more likely to become habitual. And then the thing that I really, really emphasize is some of these habits, even though they may seem small, for example, to me, eating adequate protein every day is a pretty simple, small habit to start with. But for somebody who undereats protein by a lot, it's
a lot.
Still a big change, even though it's one habit. If you currently eat 100 grams of protein and theoretically you should be eating 200 grams, good luck doing that overnight. I mean, some people might be able to, but it's going to be difficult, right? And you don't have to be perfect with the habit either. Like, you can graduate the habit over time. This is something I've been implementing even more recently with clients to help them have higher adherence rates and more success. Rather than saying, we're going to start with this one habit, I say, we're going to start with this one habit, but the recommendation is to start where you're at the moment, and we're slowly going to increase it, right? So if it's protein intake, if you're at 100 grams, you want to get to 200, consume 120 for a week or two. When that feels easy, consume 140. When that feels easy, go to 160, right? And have a gradual plan to slowly increase these habits. I think this does two things. One, it makes it easier to actually adhere, right? Because you're just making small changes, and that small change becomes easy. So then it becomes a little bit easier to make the next step, right? And then two, you're stacking small wins. As silly as this sounds, like, going from consuming 100 grams to 120 grams helps you develop some self-belief that you can actually do this thing, right? Same thing. I have a good friend. His name's David Rode, and he's lost 200 pounds, and he's kept it off for over a decade now. Okay, so he was 400 pounds by the time he was 18 years old. He's now right around 210 pounds. And he works exclusively with individuals who have over 100 pounds to lose, because those are the individuals that he relates to best. And he does really well with those types of people. And one of the main things that he's shared with me on the podcast that that helped him have a ton of success is not just focusing on the end goal of losing 100 or 200 pounds, because it could be so overwhelming, right? And I think the same type of mentality can be applied to habits as well. Like, I consume 100 grams of protein, eating 200 grams of protein is super overwhelming. He was like, man, I just broke it down to small little steps. Focus on the first 5 pounds, and that's it. If I lose 5 pounds, I'm in a better place than I was 5 pounds heavier. And when he achieved that small goal, he celebrated. He felt really good for himself. He would give himself a little reward. And then that helped him build the confidence that he could do it again and lose another 5. And then when he did that, he was a little bit more confident that he could lose the next 5. Right? So have the same sort of mentality with your habits. Think of your habits as mini goals, because that's really what they are, right? I want to walk 10,000 steps per day. I currently walk 2,000. Let me just focus on 2,500. That's a win. if I did 2,500, I already increased by 500. I could do another 500. Let's get to 3,000. Right. And I think that sort of mentality is so powerful because it's really like prioritizing the long-term game, which is at the end of the day, what matters. Because for most people, like most people don't realize this, like if you're trying to be healthy, yes, you're going to do it in the short term to achieve your goal, but then you got to do it for the rest of your life to maintain your goal. Right. So there's no rush really.
Where you are and sustainable.
Yeah. I've seen how powerful this sort of approach can be. So I'm all for what you were mentioning about habits, but I really wanted to add the make sure you gradually increase the intensity of the habit as well, because it can be really overwhelming to just say, hey, this is my behavior. This is the habit I'm achieving. And if it's completely different than what you do now, and it's a far stretch to get there, it might not be feasible to do it overnight.
Exactly. I mean, so when I read that one of, I'm only going to have 2 drinks a night, in my head, I'm thinking, that's not enough. That's my initial response every time is for something like that. But I think if that's your response of, oh, that's not enough, or that's too easy, to what you're saying, I think that's a good place to start. And then just piece by piece, little by little.
Prove to yourself that it's easy first.
Yeah. Prove it.
Yeah.
I can do 100 push-ups. That's easy.
Yeah. Right. I was working with a client when we started. I brought up the step goal because I was thinking about him. He was walking like 2,000 or 3,000 steps a day. And I was like, all right, let's start with 4,000. And he's like, no, man, I'm going to do 10,000. And I was like, man, I'd rather you start like with a little bit. He's like, no. I'm going to do 10,000. It's like, all right, if you say so, like, I'm not going to tell you no. If you're doubling down on this, let's try. It's like, he just didn't. And like a weekend, I'm like, dude, should we drop it? And he was like, yeah, let's drop it to 4,500. Cause he was also just like starting training and nutrition and doing all this other stuff too. And he was like super enthusiastic. And so then we dropped it down to about like 4,000. And now we're up to like 6,000 to 6,500 per day. And I'm confident that we'll get to 10,000. It's just going to take some time, right? Like change really takes time. Yeah, go ahead. Sorry.
I was just going to say that also shows good coaching though. Cause sometimes, like you were saying, having him make that mistake himself in a controlled environment is awesome. And he did it and he did succeed. He was like, okay, yeah, you're right. I want to do a little less. This is a lot.
Yeah. And I do that intentionally. You know, I do think it's helpful for people to make mistakes because you do learn from your mistakes. Like if a client feels strongly about following a recommendation that's different than what I recommend, I'm not going to say no, right? Yeah. I'm going to say, all right, like I hope you're able to do this. I'll give you the guidance that's necessary. I'm here for accountability. I'm all for it. Let's do it. And hey, like if you do hit the 10,000 overnight, like that is fantastic. But if you don't, it's okay. You realize that it's difficult. We start with a lower number and then we build back up.
Yeah.
Anything else you want to share, man?
Yeah, actually. Yeah. So with the idea of coaching yourself, we talked about that briefly earlier, but I feel like that's really helpful for people who do look at this. And like you said, lower price point product that you have, lowest price point product is the free one that you put out, which is, you know, this and everything else that you do. So great of a job, by the way, putting out all this information, which is my favorite part about social media, YouTube, anything is just that. It's also one of the most brutal parts, right? Having all the information everywhere and lots of it, but helpful to sift through. So it's just the idea of coaching yourself. If you're going into this idea of coaching yourself, it can feel very defeatist and immediately think like, this isn't going to work. And the way that I can relate to it the most, because I haven't had a ton of nutrition struggles. I've definitely struggled with disordered eating at times, driven by, you know, different childhood stuff with like just the classic Southern thing of eat what's on your plate always.
Sure.
And that's a form of it, right? I'll binge. If someone puts too much on my plate, I'm eating all of it, no matter what. It's just happening. Yeah. I don't do that as much anymore. It's just kind of how you're wired growing up and also in sports stuff. Like you just develop those different habits. But I relate a lot more on the fitness side where I've always coached myself. I've never worked with a coach to write my own program or anything like that. And you can relate to this too, I'm sure. But what I realize is the trick to it. Is switching between the mindsets, or at least respecting that there are different mindsets. Meaning the person that you're going to be in the gym when you're executing the program probably isn't the person that you want to be when you're making the coaching decisions of what you're going to do. Now, not to say that you can't say in the moment, make a decision, oh, this is too hard, I need to back down. Of course. But that's That's more like an athlete decision. The coaching decision is, hey, we have this much volume, this many exercises, this much stuff. Keeps you safe, especially if you're not pushing up against that envelope, then that changes. To relate that to nutrition stuff, you in the kitchen hungry, is probably not the best person to be making decisions. Versus you sitting down with your loved one or with your spouse, going to be a different person making those decisions and making those plans. And so, respecting that those exist, and that you're going to be a different individual having different values at different times, trying to establish the deep stuff that we talked about, just the awareness of knowing those exist can be very encouraging, knowing, oh, okay, it brings up a simple change of don't go to the store hungry. Because when I go to the store hungry, these are the things that I bring home, right? Or if I go into the kitchen because I'm bored, okay, I need to stop going to the kitchen because I'm bored. Whatever the thing is, it can really help you start to change the way that you're thinking about fitness, exercise, lifestyle changes. All of those things can be super helpful. Just knowing that those things exist, you're going to have different mindsets in different spaces.
You're going to have different
the person who's in the midst of hitting a really sweet weight on deadlift and feels incredible probably isn't the best person to decide to do an AMRAP at that moment just because they feel like it and they want to do it.
Yeah, I think what you're talking about with self-coaching also ties a ton back into what we were talking about earlier about self-awareness, because that's really what it is, right? Like I was thinking when you were discussing at first and saying like, you know, with training, person who writes down your training program isn't the same person that who's going through the training. And I was thinking, I'm like, I'm not necessarily sure if in my circumstance I would refer to that as self-coaching, because I think the term coaching inherently implies like helping you work through things that you struggle with in particular, right? Like, and for me, like training, even though I write my own training and all that stuff, I wouldn't consider it self-coaching because I enjoy training, right? So yeah, sometimes I have bad days. I talk myself through those things. And I think that comes with experience and repetition. But then when you started talking about like little behaviors, like, hey, making sure I don't go grocery shopping when I'm really hungry, or making sure I eat at the times I should, so I don't go in my pantry and snack. Like those are things that a lot of people really struggle with, right? And I can totally see how that's a form of self-coaching. But in reality, it does go back to being self-aware, being aware of the things that set you back or the things that you struggle with, and then talking yourself through those things and implementing useful and sometimes creative strategies to help you navigate those things effectively, right? I it's funny because I didn't make this connection until now, but like the term self-coaching, I think, at least to me, the way that you're explaining it really comes down to developing self-awareness. And now that we even talk about it in this way, what you were saying earlier in this episode, at least to me, makes a ton more sense too, in terms of like how important it is to be self-aware, not just self-aware of what your goals are and self-aware of why you want to achieve certain goals, but self-aware in the sense that you truly understand what's setting you back, because most people don't, right? And that's why most people do hire a coach.
Yep.
And I'll say this because I don't want people to also feel like I can just coach myself. Yes, you can, right? Obviously, having a coach makes it a lot easier and it helps you think through these things. And I, as you were talking here, I was thinking about myself in different circumstances, because to be honest with like the whole fitness thing, I completely acknowledge that I'm super adherent with it because I just really enjoy it, right? Like it's not hard for me to go to the gym. I freaking love going to the gym. I've loved going to the gym since I was 15 years old. Like I've never had an issue with going to the gym, right? So for me, like that's not something I have to coach myself through. The most I have to coach myself is like I had a day where I felt weak and I felt shitty. And that's it, right? Like that's the worst I'll feel. Like I never have like motivation issues with going to the gym. Like I literally look forward to going to the gym every day. But one thing that I have struggled with and have looked for coaching in a non-formal sense is other aspects of my life, like relationships or even business. Like I think one thing that's really powerful is having people who are a little bit ahead of you in the game, who you can look up to and relate to, maybe even have conversations with, right? So like for me, for business, I've always had a couple of people who are a little bit more successful than me, and I consider them good friends, and I can use them as role models and see what they're doing and try to pave the way for myself, right? Because truthfully, like on the business side of things, I don't have a formal education in business. I don't really know anything. I think I have a pretty good, I have pretty good common sense, and like I can think logically, so I can kind of figure out what the right direction is. But having guidance, having mentorship is incredibly important. When it comes to relationships, like for me, like growing up, and I've shared this a number of times, like never really had a good example of what a good relationship looks like, right? So in my life, I've been fortunate to have other people who are close to me who have really good relationships, and I've been able to learn how to develop healthy relationships through what I've seen from other people who I consider people who have good relationships, right? And asking them for advice and asking them questions and learning about communication. And even what we were talking about earlier, like just feeling comfortable expressing things that you struggle with. That's something I've struggled with my whole life, because growing up, if I ever shared the way I felt with my mom, like I would just get in trouble, right? So that doesn't create a safe space to like talk about the way you feel. And that's been really difficult. And those have been difficult conversations with my wife and difficult conversations with friends. And like, it is something that you learn over time. But to relate this back to what we were talking about, self-coaching, I think self-coaching is really effective if you have somebody who is a mentor who you can, I don't want to use the word mimic, but people understand what I mean by mimic, right? Like who is doing the thing that you want to do. And you don't need a formal coach in most circumstances, but having somebody be like a guiding light is extremely helpful.
Yeah. I was just going to add to that and say these two things don't have to do with what you're saying. The last thing does. The first is that I don't love my training because like the same way you do, because they think the only difference in what we're doing right now is that, so I think this is either because I'm psycho or because I think I just work with strange people. But my priority of my training is to be able-bodied. That's pretty easy. That one's kind of there. Yeah. And that just means
move well to that.
Yeah. Yeah. Number two is to experiment for my clients. And that involves doing a lot of things that I really don't want to do. And that's why I brought up self-coaching, because that for me, while other people definitely are just trying to get to where they want to go, I'm respecting the fact, and you were saying this, but a lot of people, if not everybody, aren't where you are, either in not in genetics to say it's all that, but good grief, my wife does like 2 weeks of strength training and she has biceps, and I'm like, I don't even gain muscle like that. Like, this is ridiculous. Yeah. But at the same time, I'm single digit body fat. I think I still am, and I'm 220. I don't try to get lean. I just train really hard.
Dude, you're 220 single digit body fat? Or even close.
That's what the InBody says.
How tall are you?
6 foot.
Dude, you're a savage. Holy shit. That's insane.
That's not where I was trying to go with this.
That's ridiculous. Dude,
we're done. That's the whole episode. Thanks,
you
guys.
You must have huge legs. If I was you, I would just like put the camera on my legs.
No, we're good. My point being, the self-coaching aspect for that, I don't love that. There are definitely so many days where I'm like, and my wife can testify to this because we're training together right now to try to build a different level of adherence. And I'll literally be like, I don't want to train today. And she's like, yeah. Like, and we've had this conversation too, just talking about the spouse stuff. Like, we have a conversation where like, you do want to train, you love it. And I'm like, I don't though. I honestly feel obligated. Like, I feel like it's part of my job. And if I could not do it, if I could do it twice a week, I'd be happier than I am now. It's part of why I'm pushing back into, I want to get back into an organized sport because I want that to be more of my training. Mm-hmm. Like, you know, I'm going to show my terrible sign here, never knowing actors' names. Jason Momoa. Mm-hmm. Have you seen his stuff? He hates lifting and they had to get him jacked for Aquaman. It was just he hated it. It was terrible. I think Mike Rizzotel has a video of him talking about that, but he loves rock climbing. He loves surfing. He loves rock climbing. That's definitely me. I'm more of the expressive side. Like, I want to do that stuff. I don't love the training side. I love the training side because I'm in love with the science for sure. Like, love that aspect of it. Love what it can change for people's lives. Insane. But it's knowing that and doing the self-coaching journey has led me to believe I think that every single person who says, I know what to do, I just don't do it, I think that they're wrong. I don't think they actually believe that. And if they do believe that, then they don't have enough self-awareness, or they don't realize that it's not a motivation thing. Who's more willing, or who's more likely to cook in the kitchen? The chef who is an expert, who can throw this sauce together and make this delicious thing, or the server who's never touched a cast iron pan in their life, and the chicken's going to stick the second it touches the pan because you don't know how to cook with steel,
yeah,
stainless steel, right? Like, you make these, even if you change, like, I had one client, I taught them knife cutting skills, and now they prep veggies because it takes them way less time because they can cut a lot better with a knife. And now they're to the point where they do the funny, like, like, just because they practiced, and then they just enjoy it. Not everyone does that, but it's just like, at that point, it's a skill gap. It's not a knowledge gap. It's a knowledge gap that you don't know that there's a skill gap. And so I had this theory now, and this is kind of where this idea of this podcast was born from, of, I think that every single person is capable and will, or is capable of change, and not only change, but changing to reach their goals. It just changes the amount of energy and the amount of time that they need to put towards it. And more than that, for that person to decide whether or not if they need a coach, they need to decide two things. And one of them has a multi-part thing. Is their energy limited? And do they have the bandwidth to do the energies required to do the thing? That's what you were just talking about earlier.
Yeah.
Do they have the knowledge?
Knowledge.
Do they need to practice a skill? Are they lacking some level of talent, which is a tinier part? Knowledge, practice, skill to be able to do the thing that they need to do. And if any of those two, if any of those things are true, then it might be time to seek out outside help.
I would say first,
try out outside help from a family member. Try outside help from a loved one. Because sometimes just getting your spouse to go on walks with you might be enough. You guys changing up your eating habits, doing it together. I mean, you and I would dream of that. If every client would bring their spouse on board with what they're doing, perfect. Okay, it's going to be cake. It's going to be great because you guys are going to be on the same page. You're going to be doing everything. So, anyways, long convoluted way to say that I'm 6 foot. No, I'm kidding. But those are the things I think self-coaching it.
I'm drugged.
Those things,
yeah,
I think all come together to say that those are the things I would look at to see if you need a coach or not.
The skill gap thing is a funny one because I've never even I've definitely experienced that, but haven't thought about it as nicely as you just expressed it. And I was even thinking about circumstances where I've had with clients. Like, I've had a number of clients where I start with them, they're like, I know what to do, I just don't do it, right? Like, that's something people say often.
All the time.
And they usually they actually don't know what to do. And it's funny because I've asked people in those circumstances, like, and it often comes down to the nutrition piece. Like, I know what I need to eat, I just don't do it. And I'm like, okay, like, what do you think you need to do? And they're like, oh, I need to cut out carbs and do this and that. Like, actually, not. You don't need to do that. Like,
you actually
probably
don't.
Yeah. And it really is a skill gap. I'm happy you brought that up. Yeah, man, I need to wrap this up because I have some errands to run. But do you mind sharing where people can find you if they want to work with you? And with that said, I really enjoyed this episode, man. Seriously.
Me too.
It was great.
Always enjoy it. We'll have a third at some point. I know. I'll be the first third. Yeah. I'm happy for that. Our third date.
You're going to be in close competition with my good buddy, Adrian Chavez. I'm not sure if you follow him on social media. I shout him out pretty much every episode because I was going to say something mean, but I'll just not say something mean this episode because I say something. So he's been on probably like 4 or 5 times now.
Got it.
He's definitely the most recurring person on the show.
Nice.
Adrian, if you're listening, I love you, bro. I promise, even though I shoot a ton of hate your way.
And Adrian, if you're listening, I'm coming for you. Find me on Instagram at Hoke Health, HOCHHEALTH. Find me on FSU campus, spending way too much time there doing research and taking classes for my PhD. And that's pretty much it. Find me on YouTube, but that's up and coming. So just stand by for stuff there. I've got a lot of stuff in the works that just takes a lot of time. As you know, you've been working on something for 2 years. I've been working on a couple of things that I'm trying to direct my focus to and get them off the ground. So there'll be things up and coming. Just stay in touch. It is. And it's a slow ethical grind when you're trying to do it well. So,
yeah. Is your website on your social media, I'm assuming?
It is. Yep. HokeHealthAndWellness.com. Got a newsletter that I send out as well for education. So it's always just something else in the bag to have someone else talking about different things. And I also usually put links to other people's stuff on there as well for better sources and kind of letting people get outside of their bubble a little bit, outside of the algorithm, if you will.
Cool, man. I'll have to check that out. For those of you guys listening, as always, all the links will be in the description of this episode. And for those of you guys that have listened to our banter for this long, thank you so much for tuning in. Thank you for supporting the podcast. All I ask is that if you're a regular listener, to take a second to rate the podcast and leave a review. It really does help me a ton. And it really makes me feel motivated to continue putting out great free information. And with that, we'll wrap up the episode and I'll catch you guys in next week's episode. See ya.
Thanks, Joey.